This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, this is BFM 89.9, 7.06 in the morning. Now, in about 15 minutes, we'll talk to Vincent Fong, the chief editor of FinTech News Malaysia, on their FinTech Malaysia Report 2021. Before that, markets.
Green day. In the US, Dow and S&P were up 0.7%, Nasdaq was up 0.2%. Also across Asia, also relatively green as well. Nikkei was up 0.2%, Hong Kong positive 0.8%, Shanghai 0.5% up, Singapore was also up around 0.1%. Malaysia was closed yesterday.
Yeah, we had a bit of a public holiday.
We did indeed. Okay, now to talk about some of these numbers and what's going on around the markets, we have on the line with us Carlos Casanova, the senior economist with UBP. Carlos, thanks for talking to us. Now, US GDP numbers were released. Annualized growth 6.4%. Strong, good personal consumption figures. Well, what were your views on these this print, and what can we expect in the coming quarters?
Good morning. So, as we've seen, the market reacted positively to all of the news coming out of the US on the stimulus front, on the Fed, but also on that higher than expected GDP outturn for quarter one. Remember, unlike China, the US really experienced their big lockdown in Q2, like most other countries in the world. And so we were expecting that base effect to kick in. Started from Q2, we were expecting to see GDP return to pre-COVID-19 levels, later on in the year, as that sort of base effect started to play a role. However, from the data in the first quarter, we can see that we don't have to wait to that base effect. We are seeing a real recovery in activity, and most of that can be traced back to a lot of that stimulus that is aiming at boosting American consumption.
Now, Jerome Powell's FOMC statement indicates that U.S. will remain dovish on interest rates for the time being. Do you foresee any Asian central banks taking a contrarian view in raising rates this year?
No. So while we do not expect any more easing, of course, Indonesia's rate cut earlier in the year marked the end of the easing cycle. The Fed might still take a little longer to adjust their communication policy. The messaging out of the meeting this week was decidedly more optimistic in terms of growth and inflation, but they did highlight that they'll look past temporary upticks in inflation, and they're also considering the labor market. So those are the two things that we need to monitor going forwards before the Fed starts to change the messaging around tapering. Now, when that happens, which most likely will be in 2022 in terms of tapering, communication might happen a little bit earlier, only then will it be possible for some Asian markets to experience some pressure to hike interest rates to try to maintain that real rate differential with the US to avoid outflows. But in the meantime, we don't expect any movements on the downside or on the upside in terms of interest rates.
But Carlos, when does inflation start to, bite into Asian central banks and their positions on the monetary policy?
Well, there are two factors. Of course, inflation will start to edge up in most of the countries in the region, definitely Malaysia, Indonesia, Philippines, starting from May. And that is a result of a base effect last year with there being a contraction in inflation due to the lockdown measures. Central banks know this, and markets have already priced a temporary uptick in inflation into their forecasts. So insofar as inflation exceeds targets or overshoots the target only temporarily during the quarter, the second quarter, that is not a risk for the central banks. However, if we do see a stronger economic rebound, so we're definitely seeing a stronger economic rebound in the US, or a significant uptick in commodity prices, that could mean that those temporary inflationary pressures become more sticky and remain in place throughout Q3 and maybe even Q4. In that case, we would start to see pressure on central banks to try to address that issue.
Yeah, Carlos, because that's the correct word you've chosen, if. Now, inflation is just but one metric. What about underlying growth? And let's talk about it in ASEAN terms and Malaysian terms.
Underlying growth, so we again need to differentiate very clearly between, headline numbers that are going to be very strong this year due to that base effect, and also sort of the implications of all of the measures that have been put in place on potential growth. We do expect to see, headline numbers, of course, improve over the board in the region, also in Malaysia. But we are going to see a big diverging pattern in Asia. For example, China, South Korea, Taiwan, we do expect that some of the factors that have been underpinning the recovery in the past year will remain. So those economies will do decidedly better this year. On the other hand, India, Japan, and Indonesia and the Philippines, Philippines and Indonesia, I should say, in that order, are not going to experience such a large uptick in their sort of potential growth this year because the COVID-19 situation remains very severe in those markets, especially led by India. For Malaysia, we have seen some of those lockdown measures being restricted. Of course, consumption does account for a significant proportion of economic growth in Malaysia, and oil prices are on an uptrend. So all of those factors should support better growth in Malaysia this year. But of course, that COVID-19 remains a risk that we need to monitor going forwards.
So a top-line number in Malaysia that did really well was export, because March numbers were much stronger than expected, 31% year-on-year. What catalyst will support near-term export momentum, and what are the downside risks in your view?
So that's a great question, because it is also one of the factors that will underpin better growth in Malaysia. You know, consumption very important, but exports have been doing very well. In terms of the composition of exports, we see a lot of energy-related products and also electronics like semiconductors. We do expect that this momentum will continue for two reasons. First of all is, of course, upside pressure on prices, both of energy products and of semiconductors, with a global squeeze on supply. So we don't expect that to be reversed in the immediate terms or in the next 3 to 6 months. That was going to benefit Malaysian exports. And also in terms of where Malaysia exports to, we are talking, you know, Singapore, China, the USA, all our economies that are expected to rebound more strongly. So there will be demand for exports from Malaysia in the remainder of the year. And that is going to continue to favor that pickup in momentum as well.
Okay, Carlos, thanks so much for your time. That's Carlos Casanova, the senior economist with UBP out of Hong Kong. Now, interesting, because he says there's going to be uneven recoveries across the board where ASEAN is concerned. Mm. China, South Korea, Taiwan doing better.
Japan, India not so good.
Japan, India, obviously, Indonesia not so good.
Philippines
not so good because of the case count.
We seem to be in the middle.
Correct, we seem to be in the middle. And thanks to oil prices as well. But it's very, very volatile because things can happen very, very quickly, just like how India experienced. So it's bit of a finger in the wind, but it is what it is. That's what we've got to deal with today. The new normal.
Well, we have a little bit of breathing space in the sense that all prices have somewhat recovered. That's number one. Number two, so the countries that we predominantly export to, China, Singapore, those countries are actually enjoying economic growth, recovery. So a little bit of uptick there.
I think it makes the case for always having a diversified economy. And this is one of the benefits Malaysia, I think, experiences, at least some resilience there when you diversify your economy to not rely on a specific focus area.
Yeah,
darkly though, and quite macabrely, the more the pandemic extends and the more cases we'll see, the more big tech will profit. And we saw that with Amazon, right? They reported quarterlies, first quarter. Sales grew 44% to $109 billion, right? That whacked expectations of $104 billion. So, I mean, across the board, big tech, I mean, Apple, for example, Microsoft, Google, they've all whacked expectations, and Amazon is no different.
So the interesting thing with Amazon is that their sales grew faster internationally than they did in North America. Now, North American e-commerce sales provided the bulk of the revenue, turning in sales about $64 billion, up 40%, but international sales was up 60% on year.
Well, maybe it's also coming from a very low base, right? Because when
That's
you think
true.
About Amazon, it has permeated every part of American society. It is the way to shop. It has become so accepted, and even more so now in this COVID-19 era. But outside of its core retail segment, Amazon's cloud computing and advertising business continues to boom. So their web services saw net sales of $13.5 billion during the quarter, up 32% year on year. Now, they don't disclose the advertising sales, but included in the company's other category, which saw revenues grow 77% year on year to $6.9 billion.
The biggest beat for Amazon was EPS, right? The street expected $9.69. They reported $15.79. That's a 50% beat. That's crazy.
It's incredible.
Yeah, especially when your number is so huge already.
Right.
There's
no low baseline effect here.
It's not like you moving from 10 cents to 15 cents.
Yeah,
you know?
Per share, you're supposed to make $9.69, right?
Yeah.
The thing is, Amazon trades at $3,552. They haven't
incredible.
Split yet. I think they should. And don't forget, this is the first quarter that Amazon is reporting sans Jeff Bezos.
Yeah, but I think they haven't been very clear in terms of the transition plan. So some analysts are wondering, how is it really going to work, right? Because he's not...
A looming figure.
Yeah,
still
he's a looming figure
chairman.
That's taking a bit of a back seat, yes. right? And it's huge shoes to fill. But I think there was other results that came out last night. And
yeah, Twitter met and beat by a little bit, but they sank in after hours trading. I think the outlook is not so good. Even without Donald Trump. They're sitting now at 199 million subscribers, right? Just one, like, you know, gap tooth short of 200 million.
Yeah, but I think the after hours, the trade didn't do so well. Analysts were wondering about, as usual, the monetization of their advertising revenue. They don't seem to have such clear a plan as the rest of the competition. So this was one company which slightly disappointed, but the one that did really well very quickly is, of course, Facebook. It jumped 7% to close at a record high after reporting latest quarterly numbers. They had $26 billion in revenue, up 50%.
50%, that's incredible.
Despite Tim's new software.
Not yet.
Okay, up next we'll talk to Vincent Fung of FinTech News Malaysia on their new report, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.